Always, the Worldwide Genocide program continues, and I have said for well over a year that I firmly believe that they have had the access that they need to get to any supercomputer AI system they want, and they have been wargaming, if you want to use that expression, or just gaming this entire pandemic and watching how everything plays out with knowledge aforehand, plus or minus 1 or 2%, how it will play out. They know. The deck is stacked. They understand fully what they're doing. This is not an experimental vaccine. Number one, it is not a vaccine. Number two, it is not experimental. It is a bioweapon, and it has been deployed. They know what they're doing. Oh, they're adjusting it and changing, I think, the formula in various batches to do more research. But this is a deployed bioweapon. Please don't ever make any mistake about that. Back with us tonight is Erica Kahn to go over some of the latest. We're going to play a few video clips and so forth. Hello, Erica. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good evening, Jeff. Thanks for having me back.
Always a pleasure. Let me do this real quick. I'm going to just read a few of the headlines. They're going up momentarily, and there are some interesting things in the top five or six headlines. If you remember, I've been mentioning that the major pillars of any first world society, politics, the political system, the economy, right? The military, the educational system, and the healthcare industry. Those five pillars are pretty much the basics in terms of holding a society up in a functional posture. Those five issues have been clearly targeted for destruction here in the U.S., and I was told 3 years ago the plug was going to be pulled on this country, and that's exactly what has happened. Now, let me read these headlines with that little bit of information in mind. Hospital systems purge thousands of workers to cause healthcare collapse, just as the dark winter vaxxed die-off accelerates. So the people who have been given these death shots are dying faster, as you know, if you've been listening to us for any length of time. And the hospital industry, the healthcare industry, is being taken down. These hospitals are mandating their employees get the shot, knowing full well that one-third of them will not. And they're going to bring in now foreigners, H-1B visa foreigners, to fill the spots. Here's another one. Pentagon sets November 22nd as the deadline for civilian employees to get the shot, or they're out. Why November 22nd? And for you younger people, November 22nd is the day that John Kennedy was murdered in Dallas. So no coincidences. None. Not in my view. U.S. and Chinese scientists were planning to create a brand new coronavirus, new leaked proposals show. Those and many more stories going up momentarily. Any comment on any of that, Erica? It's obvious where this is all going.
Yeah, it's like watching a movie where you sort of know the ending, where it's very predictable.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's one that I like. The forced mandated vaccine programs in virtually all universities and colleges are seeing more and more students now withdrawing. They're just saying goodbye and going home or going to get a job, and they've chosen life over potential death. This, what is the ultimate question here again, Erica? This is the real question.
Well, your money or your life, basically.
Really happy to see the story. I don't know how many students are getting out, but for goodness sakes, you don't need to go to college. Those days are over. Unless you're going to specialize in some scientific endeavor that you need the real training for. But liberal arts, come on. Student loans, are you crazy? That's what we're facing. And a vaccine to get into college, to get student loans, to learn something like 16th century Italian literature? What are you going to do? So anyway. All right. So what's new on your plate here? And we're going to jump in and play Dr. Robert Malone here. Just a short little video. He's making the claim. It's not a claim. It's a stated fact that vaccinated humans are the real threat at this point in time.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Tell them who Robert Malone is. Since some don't know, Dr. Malone.
Okay, so Robert Malone is a very accomplished virologist, immunologist, researcher, medical doctor, who came on the scene, sometime earlier this year, maybe, was it May or so? Seemed to,
like
to come out of the blue, took everybody by surprise. But
4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah, has done several podcasts or interviews with the Dark Horse podcast, Brett Weinstein, and now is on the circuit giving more interviews, people brave enough to give him a voice. His claim to fame is that he claims he's the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, although that's a little bit of a stretch. He did work on genetic or gene transfer technologies back in the 80s, late 80s, and published extensively on it, how to achieve it. His limitation at the time was when he began using these lipid nanoparticles, they were hideously toxic. And even though they managed to transfect genes or cells in culture, and maybe in some cases live animals, it failed because it was just too toxic a technology, and the technology hadn't come about to get past the cellular defenses without the cells killing themselves. But anyway, he's very outspoken on these mRNA vaccines right now, these protein expression vectors that are being passed off as vaccines. And he's so far everything he said is pretty spot on. I don't know, you know, if he's got any hidden agenda, but he's very accurate, and he's more than qualified to speak on the topic.
Right, very good. All right, well, let's listen to Dr. Malone. This is just a little over a minute long. He's going to make a point, and you have to consider the source in terms of how much relevance and weight you're going to attribute to it. I place quite a bit. That's just my sense on it. All right, here.
Can I comment? Can I say
yes,
something?
Yes, go ahead,
that?
Robert.
So,
go ahead.
I'm going to try to paraphrase what Gert just said in a real simple way.
Okay.
The issue now, the truth is that it's the vaccinated that are creating the risk, not the unvaccinated. The unvaccinated are, as he says, serving as virus sinks. For the most part, unless they're in those high-risk groups, the probability of them having significant disease and death is minute, particularly if one administers anti-inflammatory drugs early. And the real risk here in this whole equation is not being generated by the unvaccinated that then develop broad-based natural immunity to multiple antigens and epitopes that is typically long-lived. It's the vaccinated that have received these very focused spike vaccines that all have basically a common epitope structure and are driving through selective pressure evolution to escape those key epitopes that are present on those, primarily on the receptor binding domain.
Okay, epitopes, Erica. What are we talking about here?
So an epitope is a sequence of amino acids, or it's part of an antigen or an antigen determinant. So it's something that your immune system sees and can process, and it has to decide friend or foe. So epitopes that exist on the surface of a virus would be recognized by your immune system. So it's a genetic sequence. It's a protein sequence.
If you still have an immune system after you've taken the shots.
Right. The problem with this spike protein, though, as we've talked about some months ago, is that the epitopes on the spike protein, coincidentally, are very similar, if not identical, to something like 27, well, one of the ones they analyzed, 27 protein sequences in your own body. So the chances of developing an autoimmune disease after having been exposed to this spike protein, whether you're manufacturing it or if it's coming in from the outside, are very high. And that's one of the dangers of being exposed to spike protein from shedders. If your immune system is reacting to this and it can't distinguish, or if it's starting to make antibodies towards a spike protein, and you also have those same epitopes or antigenic sequences or sequences in your body, you've got an autoimmune disease.
And anybody who has an autoimmune disease, and there are how many, hundreds of them? I don't know how many there are.
Oh, yeah, for every sequence or every protein in your body, you could conceivably have an autoimmune disease or develop antibodies against it if it's been sensitized to do that. And how do you sensitize it? Well, you inject something through a needle into your vein.
Right. At this point in the connect the dots, citizen scientist, a speculative science aspect of what we're trying to figure out and what we're seeing, the more we seem to be able to put together by way of this puzzle, the more sophisticated and worse this thing gets. We're not getting a break here. It's not getting to where, oh, well, if that's all it is, we can come up with a way maybe to get around some of it. No, it just continues, in my view, to escalate into more and varied pathways of catastrophic, ultimately, health problems. This is not getting better. It's getting worse. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, there are myriad ways that this thing is going to destroy people. This is not just a toxic protein, it's a lethal protein.
Biden continues to talk about the dark winter and the media picks it up. And I don't want to give that guy anything, but he obviously knows something. And I think what he knows is that this is going to be a very difficult fall and winter. And it's already beginning to show that. What we're seeing all over the country are these vax-induced super cancers, my word. And they're showing up in ways that are sort of unusual. These are not just normal, run-of-the-mill, common cancers in many cases, apparently. What we're seeing are unusual. You know, one out of 100,000 people will get this cancer or that cancer, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's as if all the breaks, all the checkpoints that the body has in place to prevent the development of cancer, to correct it once it's started, the breaks are off.
And those breaks are not only off, they're disabled. I mean, they're done. I don't know how they could come back online to serve the immune system. We've got that P53 gene, which is a tumor suppressant gene, and the other one is the R-blastoma?
Well, there's several, but there's two in particular that seem to be dysregulated with this, at least the adenovirus vaccine. Now, you've got the retinoblastoma vaccine, which is a tumor suppressor gene, and then the P53, which it does a little bit of both. It decides whether or not the cell is going to commit apoptosis or if it should stick around and try to correct the damage. But the spike protein, S2 portion of the spike protein, interferes with that P53 protein in the cell. And when that happens, then the cell can't decide or the signaling is not there to tell it what to do. Mm-hmm. If it is cancerous, it'll just keep living and multiplying. So that is a concern with the adenoviruses, but the lipid nanoparticle mRNA vaccines are also inducing these very aggressive cancers in people, perhaps through another mechanism or who knows.
Is the spike protein, does it have a relative or a forebear that is on the scientific landscape, or is this an entirely new synthetic, basically, protein?
I think it's almost entirely synthetic. It's a designer protein. They knew what to put in there to, on its own, disrupt cellular signaling, molecular signaling, so your organs, glands, tissues can't talk to each other properly. This thing is interfering in so many different pathways. And I think part of it is because it's so heavily glycosylated, meaning it's covered in these oligosaccharides, sugars, and that is one way that the body communicates with the shapes of these various sugars and their charges. And you've got this foreign protein in disrupting all of your own native proteins or signaling molecules, taking up binding sites.
Right. And is it true that many of the cells in our body which are now taken over either by the adenovirus vector or the mRNA vector and turned into spike protein manufacturing centers exclusively, those cells are no longer making the wide array, huge array of proteins that we rely upon to continue functioning in reasonably good health?
Yeah, I would say that that's probably accurate. If the cell can't rid itself of this genetic material, and the mRNA is designed to resist that degradation. Normally, you have enzymes in your body or in your cells that would degrade this thing, but it's been modified so that it can resist that to a point. And in some people, unfortunately, they have genetic mutations that don't allow them to break this stuff down very readily, so it's going to persist longer. I think if these things end up in a cell that's co-infected with a herpes virus, it may persist indefinitely.
One more quick thing. People keep saying, I keep running into it, that this series of vaccines, these series of bioweapons is what they are, will give you AIDS. You're going to get AIDS. That's not the way it should be spoken about. You will end up with a failed immune system, not dissimilar to HIV infection. But it's not, in the classical sense, AIDS, correct?
That's correct, yeah. It's doing it through another mechanism. I would say it's even an accelerated version of what you would get with HIV. This is dismantling people's immune systems fairly quickly, and we don't know if it's correctable. So far, the immune suppression seems to be quite prolonged. And it certainly will be when you go for dose number 3 and 4.
And 5 and 6 and whatever.
Right.
We have a theory on that, and it has to do with placebos, saline injections, instead of either the Johnson & Johnson or the AZ or the other two. Saline has been given to a lot of people. Why? Because if they gave the actual bioweapon to everyone, everyone would start to get sick to one degree or another, and many would be catastrophic. So they're giving, probably still, placebos, saline, to some people, so they can have people walking around saying, what the hell are you talking about? I got the shot. I'm just fine. What are you worrying about? Well, they didn't get the shot. They got a placebo. So that's what we sort of think that some of these boosters are all about. They're going to make sure they get, they're going to clean up those who got a pass early on.
And I would add in there, I'm very suspicious of the flu shot as well, just based on a couple of reports I've heard so far that doesn't seem like a normal flu shot.
Well, what would hold them back from using the flu shot as another platform? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's too tempting.
And remember, there was no flu last year. Not one case reported. Where did they go, ladies and gentlemen? Where did the flu go last year? Well, wherever it went, we can guarantee it's coming back this year. That's why they're pushing the flu vax so hard already. You get
it?
So as the ability to push the killer shots, this bioweapon on people begins to fade more, they'll start just pushing the flu vax. They'll have horror flu stories. You watch. There'll be flu story. Well, he died of the flu. He died of the flu. She died of the flu. She got pneumonia. She had influenza A or B or whatever. So they're going to play that game. They have an entire array of things to turn loose at any time they want. And it's just another piece of evidence as to how evil and thorough the creation of this entire plandemic was. These people are they don't measure up to being humans in my view.
No.
I'm sorry. They're
no,
not.
This is just completely satanic. I still am mind blown that all of a sudden they think it's, or they are actually saying it's okay to have a flu shot and a COVID vaccine at the same time.
I know.
I can't even imagine what the fallout from that's going to be.
Just imagine it's another, let's say it'll be your third Pfizer shot or your third J&J shot. That's what it'll be. It's not, it'll be dressed up flu vax with God knows what.
I shudder to think.
That's where we're being forced. That's where we're going. And I just don't like doing these programs because people can say, well, you're just scaring people. You're trying to frighten. No, we're trying to do the opposite. We're trying to give people confidence and courage to say no to these mandates. The question again, your money or your life? What is your life worth? You have to continue. That's the only question that you can possibly ask yourself if you're under a mandate. What is my life worth? Because we have more than ample evidence to suggest that your life ain't going to be worth much if you don't get the hell away from where this mandate is and you accept that shot.
Yeah, these adverse events are by no means rare.
No.
And that's why they're struggling to hide them so much. But I would recommend that website, vaccineimpactnews.com, where they keep a pretty good running total of some of the most notable stories.
Right.
And there really is countless numbers of them now, just countless, tragic.
Horrible.
In addition to the all the people who have died.
The people who have survived with some of these so-called adverse effects, they're not. They're death events is what they are in most cases. Many of the people who have somehow survived these horrific things probably wish that they hadn't. Like that young woman's father the other day. We talked about that Monday. Just an incredible. All right, here's another interesting video, and there's such a thing as a dark field microscope, which allows people to look at blood without lighting it up, so they see the actual blood moving and how it's formulated, how it's lined up in the blood system. This bioweapon, really, I think above it, almost anything else, should be looked at as a bioweapon attack on your blood and your circulatory system. And that includes your heart and certainly all your major organs. But it most specifically is an attack, an assault, a vicious, deadly assault on your blood and your circulatory system. Agree?
Oh, yeah. It is. Absolutely.
This video, I just got it cued finally. This video is Dr. Armin, A-R-M-I-N, Armin or Armin Karakne, Eastern European, my best guess, looking at a screen here, and you'll be able to hear exactly what he says. Not so much to see on the screen, because when he's talking about the blood being a mess, it's all stacked up like a roll of quarters. Remember? Do you remember the countless pictures we've seen of that? So here's Dr. Armin Karakne talking about vaccinated blood, blood from a vaccinated person, and what he sees.
So this is the blood of a person who was just vaccinated. Interestingly, the staples of the red blood cells, this is not normal. This is due to mainly electric smog, you know, and also a low mineral content in the blood. The blood of a person who was just vaccinated, that if you take out the blood, sometimes it doesn't even come out due to clotting. So if the needle injects into the finger, immediately the blood starts to build fibrin fibers that you can see here, is fibers. And they have so many fibers that the blood does not even come out of the finger. Even inside the body, the coagulation is there, and the blood will be full of these fibers and doesn't go through the arteries and the veins. It cannot go through anymore. It just slowly goes through in these patients just after the second vaccination. It's really severe.
Now, let's talk about this for a minute. When a professional goes in, or a nurse, doesn't matter, doctor, nurse, and tries to draw blood, and the blood doesn't want to come out of the finger, and I guess in Europe they use the finger sometimes. Over here they use a vein in the forearm. What in the world is the person who has just been vaccinated going to, I mean, how can you survive with blood that looks as bad as the blood? And you've seen these pictures. The blood is all clumped together, the blood cells. They're stacked up like a roll of quarters in many cases. But he's saying that the blood won't even come out. So I don't understand how much the body can tolerate of that kind of abuse and damage. This is a extraordinary. And we've seen this before. What do you think? I mean, how long can somebody live like that?
I believe it was Charles Hoffa who reported on all the people forming the microclot. 62 or 63% of right. people having had the vaccine within 1 week had these elevated D-dimer tests to show that they were forming microclots, perhaps unbeknownst to them. But, it's still a stress on every tissue and organ that requires oxygen to function.
Well, they can't function without oxygen, and this blood is not moving. And Charles Hoff was the first one to really point this D-dimer test out, I believe, or one of the first. And that will tell anyone who gets the test if their body is forming microclots. And these microclots, remember, are not restricted to anywhere. They'll appear in your brain, your kidneys, your heart, your blood, doesn't matter, in your capillaries. And if they appear in a capillary in your brain, for example, what happens? The cells that are served by that capillary, they die. And you have a little dead spot in your brain, a little micro dead spot. And you have another one. And all day long this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me that honestly, when I see pictures like this and hear what this doctor is talking about, that people can survive with blood that is not drawable through a needle from the human body without a great deal of effort. I'm going to play this little part again because I want you to hear this. These people are just mind-blown by this, that they can't draw blood.
Even inside the body, the coagulation is there, and the blood will be full of these fibers and doesn't go through the arteries and the veins. It cannot go through anymore. It just slowly goes through in these patients just after the second vaccination. It's really severe. Yeah, and they can die after that because it's so much clotting the blood. The other vaccine is the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca. It's adenovirus. And I would suggest this is...
He said adenovirus, same thing.
More dangerous because then you have a selective...
Okay, now he did say something I want to back up and capture. He said he felt that was even more dangerous. Well, let's hear what he says, then we'll get a comment here.
It's an adenovirus, and I would suggest this is even more dangerous because then you have a selective pressure of the immune system against adenoviruses that could cross with other genetically cross. They make sex like now, and they cross with other adenoviruses, and you have this genetically engineered in any adenovirus this dangerous and puts a pressure on the immune system to create new viruses, now new adenoviruses, but also to create new viruses of the corona type, because they express the S protein, which is very strong antigen for the immune system since the early life of people. Now,
so now he said something very interesting and very important there. Can create new viruses, as in brand new viruses, unknown hybrids. There's another word for that, and Erica will explain that. Now, go ahead. Tell us what that is.
This is the topic of essentially the chimera viruses that we've talked about previously. And this is a natural occurring phenomenon where they are shooting you up with a supposedly what they call a replication incompetent adenovirus, but it won't take much of anything to get this thing to revert to competence, because many people have latent adenovirus infections, meaning they're already colonized to some degree with adenoviruses in their bodies, and if the one coming out of the vaccine encounters them, then they will borrow the machinery they need to start replicating. So now you have a recombinant adenovirus that's producing a spike protein, which I would contend is worse than a coronavirus, because the adenovirus, when it is shed into the environment, it can live months, whereas a coronavirus is very labile and will, you can disinfect it pretty easily. It has a lipid membrane, and it's susceptible to detergents and sunlight.
Interesting.
Easily disinfected.
Yeah.
Coronavirus
months.
Might live two days in the mm-hmm. best of conditions, mm-hmm. undisturbed. But an adenovirus can live in water. Well, I say live, but can survive in water, and fairly extreme temperatures. It's very hardy. So now we've got something even worse that's being put into the environment that you don't even have to be around people to pick it up. It could be somebody that, pushed a shopping cart yesterday and
wow.
contaminated it, from the oils on their hands or something. It does. It persists in the environment quite a bit longer than a coronavirus. You wonder why people are getting sick.
I don't. You make it very clear. This, the Johnson & Johnson and the AZ AstraZeneca models are the ones using the supposedly attenuated or weakened adenovirus as the carrier. And what Erica just explained was that adenovirus can recover and become strong and competent enough to begin to replicate itself in the vaccinated one's body.
Correct. And then be shed. And the interesting thing, or not so interesting thing, about adenoviruses is they can be shed for up to 2 years.
Wow.
2 years.
Wow. Okay, back to Dr. Karachny here.
I think it's even more dangerous, and that's what we can see. So if you have a vaccination with Johnson & Johnson or AstraZeneca, you see more severe and more side effects, yeah, and stronger side effects, and not only this coagulation problem. These new vaccines, nothing has been like that before. So they change the whole side effect spectrum. As we can see that the side effects are low oxygen, this will damage the brain of any embryo that develops, of any fetus that develops. So they get stupid children, I would say, simple language. But they also can get lost. So if the embryo dies inside because of low oxygen, you get just a spontaneous abortion. Now, that's what we will see in pregnant women who have been vaccinated just because they did not know that they are pregnant. The most important point is that science should be really neutral, not dependent on money. Now, this is the most important thing we have to focus on in the future, because what we can see now is just that every scientist, every virologist, with some two exceptions I know, are dependent on the money of big companies. Because it kills people. Just the money kills people, not only jobs, but it also kills people. Now, that's the situation right now. We have to change this immediately.
Okay. We have to change it immediately. What are our chances of breaking down the grant industry in supposed higher education in the sciences? Like zero? That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but yeah, you serve whoever's paying you. Find the results they want.
You serve your paymaster. That's the way it is. It's always been that way. All right. Anything we want to add to this so far? And then we'll jump into Dr. Madej, who found something which is potentially, it's pretty dramatic. It's captured a lot of interest. We don't know for sure what it is, but it looks like it's something that the military may have, in my view, a very strong interest in studying and learning about. We're talking about hydras. Anything to add on this, what we just talked about with Dr. Korakny?
No, I would agree with what he said, that in terms of the adenovirus being, just more potent in terms of its side effects, extreme side effects, because when you use a viral vector as opposed to these lipid nanoparticles with mRNA, the viral vector, just in general, is a better protein expression vector, so you're going to get a lot more spike protein out of those vaccines. And I believe that's probably why the J&J, you only need one, because it's just so effective at convincing yourself to start producing the spike protein right away. And then the other thing is that they've known for 20 years, possibly more, that when you inject adenoviruses, they cause clotting. That they're just known to do that. That's been a pesky problem for some time.
So they,
this year
they
decided it's not a problem.
Suddenly not a problem. Wow. Well, the blood thinning industry, pharmacologically speaking, is doing very well now. There are so many people in the ERs with clot problems. This is not a joke. You can't make clots go away. And I have talked to one doctor who is suggesting that early data, is that the traditional, like Coumadin, blood thinners are not performing as they should or as they are expected to perform in clotting situations, the likes of which this particular doctor is seeing. That's not encouraging. These are nasty clots.
I think there's more to it, though, than just the clots. I mean, there seems to be a charge issue on the membrane of the red blood cells, so they stick together because of that charge, or the lack of a charge.
Yeah, I think it's lack. Karakny said something. Dr. Karakny said something about that electric smog, he called it.
Yes.
Just sticking together for that very reason. All right, exactly. Okay, here's Dr. Carrie Madej. We'll listen just for a few minutes and see what she's got. She looked at vials of, I think, all four. Was it all four that she looked at? I don't remember.
I think it was only Moderna and J&J, but several different batches of both.
Okay. All right, very good. All right, here's Dr. Madej.
You two both know that I've been looking under the microscope, a normal compound microscope you have in college or high school even, and I was able to get samples that were verifiable, and they're Moderna and J&J, and just looked at them under the microscope with just the white light and having it warm to room temperature, and I wasn't expecting to see much, but on several occasions I was shocked to see what I did see. And the first thing was noticing that there were colors that appeared over time, meaning there's a translucent nature to the fluid, as you might imagine. And then all of a sudden, this colorful blue, colorful purple, colorful green, bright yellow appeared, and more voluminous as time went on. And I never saw that before. There wasn't a chemical reaction. No human tissue was added. And then I was told by some genetic and nanotech engineers that that would be analogous to a superconducting material, so in other words, an injectable computing system. And that when white light hits it from the microscope, then it would make the electronic components appear. And so I saw Morgellon-like fibers, graphene-like material, and saw what was most concerning that everybody was talking about. The very first time I was looking at Moderna was this tentacle-like spider, scorpion-looking creature. And it was, you know, alive, whatever you call alive. And it was at the edge of the cover slip, so it was able to come up off the glass slide. So it lifted itself up off the glass slide. And it was in 3D, suspended in space. And one of its little tentacles actually moved, so it was alive, and it was actually pointed, over time, pointed its tentacle up through the lens, to the lens, where's my eyepiece. So I was with a colleague, and we both said to each other, well, we feel like it was self-aware, like it knew we were looking at it. So I'm laughing now, but at the time I was not laughing, and it was very upsetting. And so I thought, well, maybe this is a fluke. And so another batch, and 2 months later, of the same Moderna, looked at it again. Same thing was there. Same thing under the cover slip. And so the Stu Peters show was really good, because when I showed these things, there were several people that contacted Stu and myself saying, this looks like this creature or this creature. And one of them was called Hydra vulgaris. Have you heard of that? Anybody?
Nope.
I didn't either.
Sounds like vulgar water to me.
So it's one of the six model organisms. And it's the six model organisms because it's one of the keys that these people in human genomics and transhumanism really love. And the thing with this one is that it's immortal. It doesn't die. It continually recreates its stem cells. Get this. It also can regenerate innumerable times. It can regenerate so well that if they put it in a blender, blend it up, then take all the pieces and put it back in a petri dish, it reassembles itself, but miniaturized.
Oh my God.
Yeah, oh my God is right. So I was reading this, and who is really looking into it is UC Davis in California. And so I brought up their webpage. They work with the NIH of the Hydra 2.0, taking on that human 2.0, you know, title, and in it saying how they thought it was wonderful to use this in the evolvement of humanity. Oh my gosh. So when this UC Davis is looking into it, you have to look up on their website. Please, everybody, look it up. at the bottom of the website describing this Hydra vulgaris, they have, oh, you can click on this. Now, this is a biology department. Click on this, and it is their Hydra playing card. They have 131 playing cards. Now, this is not a study card, a playing card. And at the bottom of the playing card, it says, Hail Hydra. Have you ever heard of Hail Hydra before? Anybody out there? I didn't until I had somebody tell me, oh, that's from one of the Marvel characters. This evil Nazi group, get this, that was able to get an organism to be injected inside of a person that would take over its brain and be connected to an AI program.
Now that's a Marvel comic story she's talking about. Marvel.
Predictive, was that predictive programming or what? You can't make this stuff up. This is a bona fide college program with their Department of Biology listing this. So also there, and I haven't had time to research, I just found this out last night. Also there's mRNA, a lot of studies done with this particular organism and the nanobots all together with gold nanoparticles. So this is definitely a key. So this was a very favorable thing about going on the Stu Peters show because I was kind of stumped. I'm like, what is this thing? I can't figure it out. And so when a lot of the viewers sent this information, it was quite helpful and at least disturbing to say the least, yes, but at least it was helpful into understanding a little bit more what might be injected into people.
Right. Now, what about the parasite poly?
All right. They're injecting whatever this little critter is, this creature, which never dies, into people in these vaccines. You heard she checked a couple months later with Moderna, no, J&J again. And wasn't it J&J?
Yeah, J&J and Moderna.
All right. So she's found it in multiple batches, multiple vials over time. The same creature, a little creature with five tentacles and a little like a stalk behind the tentacles. And apparently it can use the bottom of the stalk to attach itself to whatever, glass or a rock or whatever. I don't know where these things live. But it's pretty creepy. And if you look it up, Hydra, H-Y-D-R-A, vulgaris, V-U-L-G-A-R-I-S. You'll find it. UC Davis is doing this research. Now, and I said earlier, this might be of great interest to the military. You know about the military. They're always looking under rocks, no matter where the rocks may lead. And this thing is immortal. So what might they want to be building with this? She said that the Davis experiments were mixing this, if I heard her right, with mRNA and other issues. So what are they trying to create here, Erica? What's going on?
I'm not ready to believe that this thing, whatever it is, we don't know for sure if it's a Hydra. It may be. It does look like one. But my first guess is that this is some kind of a contaminant. I don't think it's supposed to be there. And if you recall, J&J had to recall 60 million doses
of
its vaccine earlier this year due to contamination. And they didn't go into any detail, but the facility where these doses were being manufactured was cited for just very uncleanly work environment, production environment. There was peeling paint and mold, and apparently some of this stuff was turning up in the vials of vaccine. More recently, Moderna in Japan was found to have shards of stainless steel in their vials. So I think that this thing is not supposed to be there. I know that they are looking at the Hydra. It's very intriguing, you know, for purposes of transhumanism, because it doesn't die essentially, and we'd like to know why, and maybe we can use that to our advantage. Not me, but the Ray Kurzweils of the world.
He'd love it. Yeah, that's why
I'm just not ready to go down that. I don't know why, how you would put it into a vial and inject it into somebody and not have a, you know, have the immune system go crazy, and that would be the end of it. But I don't know. I think we need to determine if it's there intentionally or accidentally.
Second shot after the immune system is degraded, maybe the immune system wouldn't kill it off as quickly as it should or could have if it's a second shot.
You know, I think it's going to provoke the immune system big time. You know, the immune system's going to collapse after a period of time, you know, just from what they're stating is in these vaccines. And as far as the colors go, the color of the liquid changing, I believe that that is evidence that there are quantum dots present in these vaccines. And the quantum dots, they can be graphene quantum dots, and yeah, they would be there as something of a biosensor. Not necessarily a program, but as a means of converting chemical signals into electromagnetic signals that could be
read. Can be read. Read by something. A scanner.
Correct.
Or maybe something at distance. We don't know.
Yeah, so but most likely quantum dots, because they do change colors.
Well, as we've been saying and others have been saying, this is a... I don't know how many others have been saying. This is so, to me, sophisticated and Byzantine in its complexity that it's really rather overwhelming when you start to wrap your mind around it. There's no easy exit to this at all.
No, it's every day more of the same.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for everything, and talk soon. This thing is getting to be really crazy, and we're going to stay on it. So thank you, Erica.
Okay, Jeff, my pleasure.
Right.
Have a good night.
Yeah. And all of you out there, more to think about. So share the information, and if you come across anything that we need to hear about it, you know, send it this way, and we'll see what we can find out. All we can do is continue to present this and try to suggest ways of interpreting it that makes sense. They're logical. And I don't know how much logic is involved in our sense of logic. These people are really out there in terms of technology and immorality. This is bad stuff. Bad. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care. Be well.